Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Join us for the Mexican International Film Tour to take place this May 20th and 21st at the Broadway Theater in downtown Salt Lake City. For more information, please visit saltlakefilmsociety.org.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, UT. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest indie publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk to the people behind the ultimate Frisbee professional team in town, the Salt Lake Lions, and we also discuss this long and better forgotten jazz season with our resident expert, Mike Brown. The Salt Lake Lions are an ultimate disc professional team based right in Taylorsville, Utah. They were founded just last year when the American Ultimate Disc League created an expansion conference in the western U.S. and brought five new teams into the fold, including one right here in the Salt Lake Valley. The team held tryouts and kicked off the season just this past April with a crowd of 700 people watching. Slug writer Tim Cronenberg sat down with the team's owner, Jonathan Orlovsky, to talk about the sport and their season.
Frolfing itself is kind of new Frisbee golfing, so Ultimate Frisbee has to be like that newest of the new. So maybe you could kind of like fill me in just a little bit on how the game is played and where does one exactly, I don't want to call it frolf, but.
Oh, okay. So first, there's a big difference between Frisbee golfing or disc golfing and Ultimate Disc. They're two totally different sports. And this is something we've been dealing with for years now. I mean,
potato, potato.
Yeah, most people think that Ultimate is played with dogs, baskets, or by hippies, and it's none of that. Disc golf is a sport, or Frisbee golf is a sport that's played on a course with baskets. And, you know, just like golf, it's basically golf in every respect, mm-hmm. except without clubs, and you change it out for disc. That's not what we do. What we do is ultimate, and that's a nonstop, high-action, unforgiving, run-till-you-drop kind of sport. A huge plays, amazing action, nonstop, just back and forth, back and forth. There's no turnover on downs like football. You know, after every play, stop, reset, wait a minute, and then do it again, right?
It's kind of like soccer. You drop the disc, you pick it back up, and you run.
Exactly. Cool. Exactly. And this is played by athletes who are just amazing. I mean, ultimate players are known for just being really tough, because they sacrifice their bodies to make plays. You know,
nice.
They dive for the disc and catch it and then just slam the ground. You know, they don't worry about the landing.
Gotta be buff.
Yeah.
How did the Salt Lake Lions come about, and how long have you been around exactly?
Well, the Lions came about in April of 2012. That's when I started this venture. I heard about it. I was on vacation. I read a blog post that somebody had written. I mean, it was totally by accident. You know, it was all serendipitous, if you will. And I saw it, and I immediately thought, I need this. This is my whole life I've been waiting for. This is something I've always wanted and just, you know, didn't think was possible or didn't really know. And April 2012, I contacted the AUDL, former majority owner, Josh Moore, and he informed me that there was no team scheduled for Utah. And I said, that's wrong. You know, as most of the country doesn't know, there's Ultimate here. And it's actually got a really big base, and we have the number one high school in the country here, and that's Lone Peak, and they're out of Highland, Utah. Mm-hmm. We also have 23 or 24 now, I think, high school teams that play. I mean, for the size of our state and the amount of people that are here, it's huge. I mean, per capita, it's really large. So I told them, you know, if they want Colorado to play, they should get us, because that will get, you know, us into the middle of the country.
Righteous.
Yeah.
Where exactly, like, did the sport originate, and then do you guys travel nationally, or how does that whole thing?
So the sport originated in New Jersey, and that was 42 years ago almost. Okay, so it's been played.
It's not old.
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of a sport, it's young still.
Okay.
You know, when you think about football, it's been, I don't know, 150 years, and baseball is like 200 years. So, you know, we're still a budding sport, but it's the fastest growing team sport in the U.S. 3 years in a row. It's in 60 plus countries. It's got a bid for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. We're on ESPN3. It's come a long way. There are 5 million people, 5.4 million people who played it last year. 5.1 million who played the year before that, and just over 5 million the year before that. So that's in the U.S. We have 700 colleges with teams. It's huge. 600 plus high school teams across the country. So
Utah probably needed it.
Yeah.
So I kind of noticed that this is a non-contact sport, and I'm just curious as to like where these ethics originated, because like even soccer has some kind of gentlemanly levels of blood sport in the foundations.
Right. I mean, in ultimate, it's kind of funny when we say non-contact, because we're only talking about non-contact with players, right? Which, of course, there's a lot of bumping, rubbing, hitting, colliding that happens because it's an aerial sport. You know, everything happens in the air, so people are jumping and diving through the air, and, of course, it's going to be...
After you jump, you can't really make yourself land into somebody.
But in terms, because there's also a lot of contact with the ground, and ultimate players are known for just sacrificing their bodies, you know, just... diving through the air and then smashing. So, you know, it is a non-contact sport, but again, that's loosely. In terms of sort of gentlemanly conduct, we have something that's written in the rules called Spirit of the Game. And Spirit of the Game basically is the ideal that every player should be more interested in making sure that they're playing with honor and integrity. And that's the most important thing. That's paramount to winning. That's paramount to beating someone for a score. That's paramount to, you know, diving through the air and hurting somebody, even if you could get the disc, if you had done that. You know, that, and ultimate players take that really seriously. This is a sport that originated in more of a white-collar setting. A lot of the people who play ultimate are Ivy League. You know, it started more Yale and Stanford.
So this is the new rugby.
Yeah, well, and when you say that, it's funny because in terms of rugby has like 1.3 million people in participation every year in the U.S., and we got 5.4. You know, we have more than rugby and lacrosse combined. And lacrosse has three pro leagues, you know.
And lacrosse invented America, so.
Right.
Wild.
Yeah.
How does one advance themselves in such a new field game? If you're interested, where do you go to get good at this?
Okay, so there's lots of opportunities to play Ultimate. Ultimate disc around town. If you go to utahultimate.com, there's a whole list to pick up games, and Ultimate's great because the community is really welcoming. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if anyone can show up to a pickup game and just play, you know.
Nice.
And there are pickup games for all sorts of levels. Some of them are higher level, and I wouldn't recommend it for new people, but they'll welcome you anyway, and they'll teach you everything they can. We got really awesome people in the community, just very positive, lovable, likable individuals. So if you want to play, definitely go to utahultimate.org and look up pickup, and you'll find stuff all around the valley, all the way up to USU area, Logan, Ogden, all the way down to Cedar City and some other places.
Where'd you guys get the funding for the field?
Everything is paid for by me. That's an important question because I think a lot of people think a professional sports team just has millions and millions of dollars.
Gatorade automatically wants you.
Right, exactly. Which we would never drink, by the way. We use Sustain. That's a product from Mel Luca. It's all natural. But anyway, you know, and that's just, we're not this big organization that has millions of dollars. We're really not. We're a small grassroots organization, much like Slug is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a grassroots kind of company, and we're working our butts off. I mean, it's really only me for the funding. So, we have an Indiegogo campaign going on because we'd like to do more with the community. I'd like to be able to get the players out doing stuff with schools, which we already are, but we want to do more. We need a bus for traveling, because traveling in vans really sucks.
Yeah.
You know, going all the way to Vancouver, British Columbia in a van is not appealing.
Bunch of smelly dudes in a car.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'd like all the listeners to just realize that we're not this huge company that has buku bucks. We just, you know, it's a small time deal. And I got a lot of really amazing people who work for me that do it for free or do it for pennies. And they do it because they love the sport and they love where it's going. They want to see us succeed. And that's really important to them.
The next Salt Lake Lions home game will be on May 31st at Taylorsville High School against the Seattle Raptors. Tickets are still available as of this recording, and the game time is 6 p.m. For more information on the sport, on the team, to get yourself some tickets, and any other info you might need, visit them online at saltlakelions.com. Oxcross is a metal band from right here in Salt Lake City that originally formed back in 2012 and is comprised of longtime local rockers including Jeff Anderson, Dave Jones, Taylor Williams, and Andy Patterson. They recently released their debut full-length album called Tree and Stone, and they offered it for free for the first couple weeks, and now they're just charging a mere $2. Here's a song called Fiery Fields off of Tree and Stone.
Sacrifice!
To download the Oxcross album, visit them at oxcross.bandcamp.com. And for more info on the group, check them out at facebook.com/Oxcross.
Artes de México in Utah and the Salt Lake Film Society are pleased to announce the Mexican International Film Tour to take place this May 20th and 21st at the Broadway Theater in downtown Salt Lake City. The free and open to the public program this year features a feature-length movie and several shorts that will tackle several issues including the border, families, and LGBT community. All films are in Spanish with English subtitles and will be followed by a Q&A. For more info, please visit saltlakefilmsociety.org.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie!
This is your weekly daily calendar for the week beginning Tuesday, May 20th and running through May 26th. I'll encourage you to go to slugmag.com and scroll your way down to the bottom of that homepage. That calendar at the bottom, full of great stuff, always new things being added to the listings. Rock shows, movie nights, trivia, you name it, it's in there. I found so many goodies this week, starting on Tuesday, May 20th. Perfect Pussy and Potty Mouth. Together at Kilby Court, should be a fine night of young, punky rock and roll. Really excited about that new Perfect Pussy album. It is really good. The older folks in the audience will no doubt make their way over to the Depot, where Rodriguez is headlining. If anyone has seen the Oscar-winning documentary, Waiting for Sugar Man, he's the Sugar Man, and he's playing at the Depot. He sold out a big room at the Complex last year, so this should be a pretty fun show. Wednesday, May 21st, the B-Side Players, sort of reggae, sort of groovy. They're playing at the Lo-Fi Cafe, while Scottish instrumental rockers Mogwai are headlining at the Depot. Easily one of the loudest fucking shows I've ever heard in my life was a Mogwai show. Those guys are insanely loud, so bring your earplugs. Same night, Spy Hop 801 sessions include Mad Max and the Wild Ones and the Fishin' Breakers at the Shred Shed. On Thursday, May 22nd, oh, it's the poppy sister group from California, Haim. They're a love them or hate them kind of thing. I kind of dig them. They're not too shabby. They're playing with Tennis at the Depot. That should be a pretty good show. All you Tenacious D fans, of course, will want to make your way to the Urban Lounge where the Kyle Gass Band is headlining. I've seen Kyle Gass when he brought his band through Bar Deluxe a few years ago. That was a blast. This one should be just as fun. Friday, May 23rd, good local band, Hectic Hobo, headlining at the Woodshed. Saturday, May 24th, it's the second annual Slug Cat Alley Cat Race. That starts up at Saturday Cycles, while Jimmy Eat World headlines a show over at the Depot. Still kicking, Jimmy Eat World. Kind of amazing. And the Red Bennies are celebrating their 20th anniversary and probably their 20th breakup and reunion at the Shred Shed that very night. Sunday, May 25th, the Geek Show movie night at Broovies. Always fun to hang out with the Geek Show boys. And then on Monday, May 26th, New Zealand alt rockers The Naked and Famous headlining a show joined by White Sea and Strange Babes at the Depot. That is your weekly calendar for the week of May 20th. Go to slugmag.com, check out those listings. And if you're the kind of person who throws shows, has a venue, put your own listings on there for free, or for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some quality linkage to your listings. Gaza was a four-piece metal band from Salt Lake City that formed all the way back in 2004, primarily consisting of John Parkin, Michael Mason, Anthony Lucero, and Casey Hansen. The band released an EP called East back in 2004, and they did three full-length albums between 2006 and 2012 before ultimately disbanding in 2013. We're going to play a song from their 2009 album called He Is Never Coming Back. This is the title track.
Changing from the inside.
all of Gaza's albums and get more info on the band, visit facebook.com/Gaza Music. We are here with Slug Magazine's resident expert in oh so many things, but we're having him here in the guise of our resident Utah jazz expert, Mike Brown. Welcome to the studio.
Expert, I like that.
Expert. So, as this thing airs or goes out to the interwebs or however you do with a podcast, you know, we are going to be still in the NBA playoffs. They're ongoing. They started awesome, despite the lack of the Utah Jazz in there. But the Jazz have had some action going on. They've had a firing of Ty Corbin, as was predicted right
here. I don't know what I'm happier about, being right or that he's not the coach anymore.
Well, our awesome point guard, not going to get Rookie of the Year, but he got like one vote from Ron Boone.
Yeah, he broke his finger and, you know.
But he was good, turned out good. But well, why don't you just give us your sort of overall thoughts on the season now that it's over and we're kind of moving forward.
Overall thoughts. Okay. I made a bet with Jake Fish, the doorman at Urban Lounge. Because before the season, everybody was... I feel like everybody's being so fucking unrealistic. Like, dude, they are going to win so many games. Trey Burke's the shit. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, 25 games. They... If they win 25 games, I'll buy you a shot. And they won exactly 25. So I kind of told Jake, like, that's a draw, dude. We'll just buy each other shots. But I was right about that, too. So... Yep. I'm feeling good about my predictions as far as, like, this offseason goes. Dennis Lindsay is just one mysterious motherfucker.
He holds his cards close to the vest, as they say.
Kevin O'Connor was like that, too, but Kevin was also kind of a dumbass, and so you kind of knew, like, he was going to do something stupid, or you could just assume it. Like, not drafting Tony Parker and getting Raul Lopez, not getting Chris Paul. Look, instead you got that ass hat, Darren Will. You know, you just kind of knew that Kevin O'Connor was going to fuck something up somehow. And then Dennis Lindsay, it seems like, you know, draft day last year, fucking hits a home run, gets Trey Burke.
Solves the point guard problems of the Jazz.
I don't know if it's completely solved. Yeah. I still would like to see them get a actual another point guard. It's a guards league now.
It's true. They do need a 2 or a 2-1 guy, right?
You know, I hope they keep Marvin Williams because he wants to stay. He'll
come cheap.
He likes Utah.
Yep.
Much like the white women.
He was a lot better than I thought he was going to be when we got him.
I thought
he was going to be garbage, and he turned out to be awesome.
Yeah.
Not an awesome player, but an awesome guy to have on the team.
Awesome fit, but he's not bad. And they made him like that weird stretch 4, which is popular
in the
NBA.
He can pop threes, too.
Yeah, and he can hit him. You know, he's no fucking...
So here was the big thing. Last year, they got rid of like the guys they knew they were going to have to pay big money, like Al Jefferson and Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
So they left. We gave the young dudes all the playing time that everyone was asking for last year.
Ty didn't give them enough.
Yeah,
I'll say it right now. Right.
That's true. We did have, like, dead men walking with Richard Jefferson.
We were
going to
lose anyway. Yeah, why the fuck is our... What's his nickname?
So as you look ahead here, Richard Jefferson and the other dead meat from Golden State that came over.
Yeah.
So when you look at the draft ahead, what do you think the Jazz have to do first and foremost?
Okay, first off, let me just give you my 2 cents on the draft. And I know I just made fun of Kevin O'Connor, but seriously, I have zero faith in the NBA draft. I think you might as well fucking blindfold yourself and get a dartboard and hang everybody on the dartboard and just chuck darts and draft that way. Because, I mean, look at it. Okay, number one pick last year. What was that guy's name? Went to Cleveland, didn't play at all.
Yeah, yeah.
The number one pick.
That's right.
And I know last year's draft was shitty.
Guy, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, you got fucking our guy, Trey Burke. How did he go 9?
Yeah.
You know? Yep. He was the best point guard out of that draft. I mean, you can argue Michael Carter Williams, who just got Rookie of the Year, but I think he was the best person they could have gotten that
draft. I think
draft.
He'll be better in the long run, too.
I agree. And so it's more now, like, you look at this draft that's just fucking loaded. Well, just look. Oh, I got a text message. Anyway.
It's the Jazz front office calling
O'Connor.
Mike Brown right now saying, who should we draft?
We're, okay, even though.
We got a shitload of draft picks.
We got a shitload of draft picks
good
and money.
Dudes.
So I want to see Dennis Lindsay trade up, which I think is doable, because you look at some of these teams that suck, that have, like, no money right now, no cap space, like New York, L.A. is kind of like that. Like, there's some shitty teams that I think, like, our money will look very nice.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would love My favorite right now, I am a big Jabari Parker fan.
Oh,
and not
because
really? He's Mormon. Because
the Mormon Meteor? Is that going to be his
the
nickname
Mormon
if
meteor?
He comes here?
Oh, we need a Mormon player. We couldn't get the Jimmer.
He would be... we probably can get Jimmer now for like a pack
could.
Of gum
yeah,
and
I know,
a
you're right.
used condom. But if we got... Like, Jabari is good. I would take Jabari. Here's, I would take Wiggins. I would take any of those top five guys.
We take any of those guys, first off.
Except
when
for the big
we do,
dude with the bad back.
Yeah, not him. When we take him, Hayward's gone. That's my... I'll just give you one prediction. I don't think
Do you think
Hayward's
he's going to go to the Suns and play for Hornacek?
He's either going to do that, which he should. I think he should.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get paid what he wants to get paid. I don't blame him for not... for, you know, opting out of his contract last year, not re-signing. I thought that was smart, but I also think the Jazz, like, put too much on his shoulders this year, and it kind of fucked him. But teams still want those solid role players. He's
him.
Still a starter.
I want to keep him.
I'd like to keep him, too, but if we got, like, a fucking Jabari or Andrew Wiggins, no.
But we might get one of them anyway because we're drafting so high.
Right.
But we could also, if he gets paid $10 million, we're probably not going to keep him.
No,
like,
no.
Somebody else might throw
somebody
that money
else.
At him.
Yeah, probably Portland because they always fuck us that way. But yeah, it's gonna be. I think he's done with the Jazz. I could be wrong.
No, I could see that playing out.
And then as far as coach goes, my dark horse candidate that nobody's talking about, nobody who I think should coach the Jazz. I really think this. And I'll back it up. Patrick Ewing.
Oh, yeah, I like it. I've heard the name out there floated around.
He
needs a job.
He needs
a coaching
he's
job.
He's a great assistant. The NBA's been fucking him over
men.
For years. Exactly. Works
That'd
with
be,
big men. What are we trying
a
to
New
develop?
New York City slash Georgetown
men.
Boy in Utah.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
As nice as
good.
Coach Stockton sounds, I mean,
that ain't going to happen.
No, I just read
and
a book,
better
by
than
the way.
Carl. Oh, yeah. How is it? 2 second book review.
Two second book review. It solidifies the fact that I thought John Stockton was a very, very boring person in real life. It just solidifies that 100%.
Yeah.
It is the most boring.
My mom read it in like the first week it came out, and she was just like, it's really him. I'm
yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
It, you have to love John Stockton to finish that book. If you love him, you'll finish it. But yeah.
He draws big crowds in Salt Lake and at Gonzaga. That's pretty much it, I think.
And hates everything.
Okay, so if it's not Patrick Ewing as our coach, which could happen, why not?
Well, here's the thing.
Who do you think?
It's a guards league. This is why Patrick Ewing's been getting fucked for years. He should have been a head coach years ago. But it's such a guard-driven league. The rules are all set up so they all play like pussies now. It wasn't like back in the day where if you went in the lane, Mark Eaton's smacking your ass to the ground and you stay the
fuck
out.
Did you see that 30 for 30 with the Bad Boys on it?
Oh, I haven't seen
awesome.
That yet.
So good.
But I loved that kind of basketball. A lot of people did, and I know we're all just a generation of pussies now.
It's true.
But whatever. but it's a guard-driven league, and that's reflected in the coaches.
Yeah.
So now that the rules, like no hand-checking, it's all set up. Thank you, asshole Michael Jordan, for changing the NBA forever. But those are the fucking Michael Jordan rules.
You don't think we'll go get like Mike D'Antoni?
I hope not. I don't think he's a good coach.
I think
he's overrated.
Yeah.
The only time he was a good coach was when he coached Steve Nash in his prime.
Yeah, and how do you fuck that up?
Right.
They had Amari Stoudemire and Steve Nash. And
Steve Nash made everybody better back then.
I just hope they don't get Jim Boylan, the former Utes coach who shit the bed with us in Salt Lake. And his name keeps getting bandied about because him and Lindsay are buddies.
Yeah, but I think Lindsay is too smart.
Yeah.
I think he knows, like, just for marketing, you can't fucking bring that dork down here.
All the Utes fans would hate him because of how he coached at Utah, and all the BYU fans would know he sucks because they kicked our ass every time.
They would love it.
Yeah.
Provo would love it.
They're Jazz fans, though, too, you know? That's the one place the state comes together.
Sort of.
Sort of.
I don't know. Have you ever gone to a Kings game when Jimmer's playing? Hear the boos?
No.
Oh.
Really?
He gets booed like a motherfucker.
Those are Ute fans.
Oh, yeah. It's, but there's no...
Jimmer's going to be playing in Turkey next year and enjoying some time in the Turkish baths of Europe.
He had like those two games at the end of the season because I think Jimmer's funny. I like following him because he does kind of remind me of Stockton, like just the most boring dude to ever play in the NBA. And so I think it's fucking... I hope he stays in the league. I hope he goes. He got the shaft in Sacramento.
He's going to be a free agent. Somebody's going to get him cheap.
No, fuck it. Let's get
Jimmer.
Just
hope he's not in Utah.
Yeah, let's get him.
All right, we'll check back in a couple months, see if Jimmer's here, see if Patrick Ewing's here, see if Gordon Hayward's here. It's a lot of shit in flux again.
Oh, you know who they should get if they don't get Ewing? That European guy. What's his name?
The Italian dude?
The Italian dude everyone's talking about.
He's the European Phil Jackson.
European Phil. Oh, but I hear his English is perfect. And,
He's won a bunch of rings in Europe.
He's won some rings. We got some foreign players.
Yeah, that'd be good. So we might be the perfect place for a foreign coach to come in.
Oh, yeah.
We're a very European city here in Salt Lake.
Oh, extremely.
Mike Brown, where can people go find your stuff besides every month in Slug Magazine, of course?
Oh, okay. I'll just plug my social media.
Perfect.
My Instagram, I got a solid gram, at Fagatron.
Nice.
Spelled how it sounds. And then my cat Jetpack started an Instagram. Ooh. He's got over 300 followers now.
Damn,
yeah,
nice.
That's good for a cat.
Awesome.
You can follow me on Twitter on at @FuckMikeBrown. I know a lot of people in Utah don't tweet, and I'm just going to advocate for Twitter. I love it. It's great for shit talking. If you like sports, you can follow athletes. They're always putting stupid stuff on there. It's so good.
It's hilarious.
Enes Kanter's Twitter. Whoa. He must have got talking to about it. He went to the Playboy Mansion his rookie year and was sending tweets out about that. I was like, no way. This is awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We will definitely catch up on our predictions and all these questions that need to be answered over the summertime. And
we should do the next one right after the draft.
I like it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon. Thanks. As always, thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug-related, visit us at slugmag.com. We're going to have Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp Utah return to the studio soon to talk about brewpubs. That's in affiliation with our awesome annual beer issue coming out in June. We want to hear what your favorite places are to get a pint while getting some quality grub. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com, or hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundwaves, or facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your suggestion on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by one Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer, Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. The main logo and art design is by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire us up next week. We'll be learning all about 3D printing from the folks at Sandboxer and Go Engineer. Thanks for listening.